of God tonight. Is there anything better than the love of God? Turn to Luke chapter 15. We're going to talk about the prodigal son. But before we do, as you're turning there, you know, I just want to kind of recap from last week, you know, that the love we see in children, especially when they're infants, it impacts their developmental stage. It also impacts their hormone balance. So we see, you can go back and listen to that from last week, but the love of God, or let me just say love, impacts people on their developmental, or emotionally and physically, and also spiritually. And we also talked about the love of God is shed abroad, or Amplified Classic, and others said it's actually poured into our hearts, right? There's just some people who, you know, they don't know how to love, or maybe they've never seen that. God, one thing he says is, not only is he, we see in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that now when we accept Christ into our life, when we become born again, old things pass away, all things become new, we are now new creatures in Christ, right? How is that? When our nature is changed, it's Romans 5:5, the love of God is poured into our hearts. Why is that so important? Because it is a life source for us. There is no love in hell. There is no life there. Now, people are obviously functioning there, but life comes from God. And what is God we've talked about? He's love. And it definitely impacts every area of our life, like we talked about. Go listen to that. I kind of went into detail last week. But as we look at Luke chapter 15, first of all, before we dive into this tonight, there's three people in this story, right? Everybody focuses on the prodigal son, which is good. Comes back. Also, there's the father, but then also, too, there's the elder son. Each one there, there's a lesson to be learned, and there's a sermon in each one of these people. And you know, you can kind of see which one you are. Hopefully, you know, you're on the good end here. But we look through some of these things and we see that there's a lot in this. We'll just dive into it tonight. Luke chapter 15, we'll start in verse 11. And it says, "And a certain man had two sons." All right? Verse 12, "And the younger said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me.' And he divided unto him his living." So what he's saying is, give me my inheritance now, right? I want it now. And so, verse 13, he goes on, it says, and shortly after that, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So he partied, blew it all. Then, there came a famine in the land, and it began to want. So he blew all his money, now he's in trouble, now there's a famine. And his belly, he'd eat, before that, he went and he talked to somebody of that country and he sent him into the field to take care of the hogs, right? And then there, he's eating the same food from the husks that the hogs are eating because he has nothing, because nobody would give him anything. And he came to himself and he says, wait a minute, how many hired servants does my father have that have bread, plenty of bread, And I'm sitting here hungry, and I'm dying of hunger. Verse 18, I will get up, and I'm going to go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. Am I no more worthy to be called your son? But make me as one of your hired servants. And he rose, and he came to his father, but when he had was great, he was far off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I want to talk about two things. Number one is this. He definitely, the son was focused on his mistakes, wasn't he? He'd messed up and he thought, but let me ask you this. Do you think if the father had not have loved him that he would have the courage to go back to his dad? And his father was more concerned about him than what he did, right? Ever had those situations before you get in trouble? It never happened to me, of course. But, you know, your parents or maybe you have kids or something, what's the first thing? He says, I told you, la, 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 right? So you're focused on, you know, hey, you big dummy, what did you do that for, right? And we're all, okay, maybe you're just the perfect parent, but been the perfect child when you grew up. But what is it? When something happens, you make a mistake. I was just talking with somebody, one of my colleagues, just this last week, and her son, he's a teenager, and he snuck out that night, and she's like, he called me at like 1:30 in the morning, and his car broke down. He was hanging out with some people, you know, and his battery was listening to music and everything, and it ran down, and she didn't know he was out. So she's like, I didn't get back home until 3:30 in the morning. You know, my husband had to jump the car and everything else too. And she goes, I started lying into him, and he says, Mom, you told me if I'm ever stuck anywhere, you need to call me no matter what. Okay, it's wrong to sneak out. We know that. But in this scenario, we see the father is what? The son knows the father loves him, and he what has courage. I believe the son knew the father's character that he could go back. Yeah. And what does the Bible say? Love covers what? A multitude of sins, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So there's obviously character, and it's displayed the next two scriptures, the next two verses after that, doesn't it? Let's read that again. And it says, I'm going to rise, I'm going to go to my father, and he's got these hired servants, I can at least be one of them, and I'll have to be, and then 20 means he arose, talking about the father, came to his father, but when he was great ways off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So the father was out looking, he was waiting for the son to come back, wasn't he?
I told you, you know, what are you going to do now? I told you. Why'd you do that?
And the other thing is, too, sometimes, you know, we're kind of in the, of all the helicopter parents out there, you know what I'm saying? It's like every little bump and bruise and everything, and we're doing softball now, you know, and I'm attempting to coach, if you want to call it that. I feel like I'm herding cats most of the time, but anyway, feels like I'm herding turtles here. It's like, okay, do this, you know. Okay, I want you to throw to second base. It's like, oh, you threw to third base. I'm sorry. Let's go back and let's figure out. That's first base. That's second base. That's third base. Okay, you throw it to second base. Okay. Okay, I guess we're throwing to first base then, I guess. But but the dad was on a helicopter pilot, right? And sometimes in life, people just got to make mistakes, right? The Holy Spirit will kind of prompt you. But, you know, when you're making mistakes and everything, and God is, I mean, the devil is a driver. The devil tries to get you to do, you got to do this now. You got to do this now. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is gentle and he's full of love. And, you know, he's there for us. It says there in Galatians, the fifth chapter, it describes the Holy Spirit, right? He's a God, an intercessor. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness. All of those good things there in Galatians chapter 5, right? He's not driving us, right? God doesn't force us to do anything. There's an old, Flip Wilson? This is like way beyond this is like way before I was born, but an old show. Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Well, nobody's making you do anything, right? Nobody's making you do anything. And God is not a helicopter. He's there for us all the time. He's with us all the time. But we have to make our own decisions. We've got to make some decisions for ourselves. Now, obviously, when kids are younger, you got to say, you know, don't touch the stove. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Right? Okay? When you get a little older, it's like, okay, you know what? You can put your own clothes away. Right? Sometimes that didn't work. Right? Let's get the clothes in this room. How about that? Let's start there. Let's get from here into this room, this vicinity. It takes time. But I was talking about Adrian, not my girls. I'm sorry. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Give me a look. She's the neat person, and you know, I'm the, yeah. So. I've come a long way. Okay, I'm telling you right now, I've come a long way. All right, so you know. But God is not, he's not a helicopter. We don't see that this father was monitoring. You know, you don't need to spend your money on that. You don't need to do this. You don't need to do that. He made mistakes. He knew it was wrong. And he came back, and I believe the love of the father drew the son back, right? Because if he didn't know his father was full of love and wanted him back, he would not have come back. So there was an innate understanding of who the father was. And I love this. And he rose and he went up. So the father is looking for the son to come back, isn't he? He's patiently waiting. He's not sitting there, you know, on the porch going, waiting to give him a lecture. What? He runs up to him, kisses him. What does this mean? Well, this means, first of all, that people are more important than rules sometimes, right? Now, we need to have rules. We need to have things. We need to have, you know. But what? He valued his son way more than what happened. And the son said to his father, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no more worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring a fatted calf and kill it." We're going to have steaks tonight, baby, right? "Let us eat and be merry. For this, my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and now he's found. And let's have a good time," right? Let's celebrate this coming back. Now, how many people would be like that? A lot of people. Some people wouldn't be. "Now his older son was in the field, and he came and he drew to the house and he heard the music and the dancing. And he asked one of the servants, and he asked, 'What's going on here?' And he says, 'Well, your brother has come and your father has killed fatted calf because he came home safe and sound.'" Okay, brother. Be happy. Right? What's the reaction here? He was angry. He would not go in. It says, he called his father out and entreated him. Anybody have a different translation? This is a King James. Verse 28. Anybody have that? I want to read that out. Luke 15, verse 28. Somebody got that? Would you read it out like a just a different version? Do you have something, Dwight? Yeah, Ruth, if you would.
"But the elder brother became angry and deeply resentful and was not willing to go in."
Okay. Interesting enough. You know how many people in music and Hollywood and everything, they become a Christian, and how many Christians throw a fit over that? Yeah. Right? How many rappers turn their life to Jesus? And you know what the Christians are going? The elder son. Why is he singing about Christian music? Why is he singing about Jesus? Look what he did in the past. Instead of being happy for people who turn to Jesus, right? Now we've got to, well, why are they doing that? Well, why are they doing this? I mean, let me just tell you something. When I came back to Christ, I was a little bit rough around the edges, right? And for some reason, I'm just going to just say it. In Christianity, we like to shoot our wounded, right? We really enjoy it. We really like cutting up and eating, you know, carving up people for breakfast, right? Now, years ago, I became friends with Jimmy Swaggart's praise and worship leader. He and I actually went to school with my parents when they were in high school together. Went to school with them. And anyway, the church we went to, he was doing sound system, and he called me to help, so I helped and helped wire things up, and we spent time. And then years later, when we started pastoring this church, we had a few lunches together, and we get together. He haven't talked to me for a long time, but he'd share a lot of insights into, you know, situation. We talk about a lot of things, and I have a lot of still regards for Jimmy Swaggart, because he did enormous. I mean, he was feeding more people than a lot of our government programs were overseas. I mean, he did a tremendous amount. Of course, you know, he fell. But the problem is this, that, you know, how many people, and let me just say this, there's three parties when you fall into sin. Number one, there's God. Number two, there's you. And number three, there's other people. God will forgive you. Number two, will you forgive you? And number three, people may not forgive you. And it's amazing how people will throw you under the bus. Everything that you've done or accomplished, if you make a mistake, they're going to disregard you. And in this situation right here, we see that the younger son, the prodigal son, went out. He made some mistakes. He came back. He repented. The father forgave him, but then the son still had resentment against him. When now he's trying to come back and he's trying to get his life together. How many people, whether it's musicians or Hollywood people or this or that, that when they step out and they proclaim their life for Christ, obviously there are going to be people attacking them for doing that, right? Well, how dare you? How dare you decide I don't want to live life and sing about drugs and living, you know, a terrible, ungodly life, but I want to sing about Jesus. Somehow that's bad or that's terrible?
It's religious,
yeah. And so we see a prime example in this, you know, we always talk about the prodigal son and the father, but then also, too, we got to talk about the elder son. And so in verse 29, and he answered and said to his father, all these years, you know, I've served you, and I haven't sinned or transgressed at any time of your commandments. And yet you gave him a kid, right? Nearest. And, I mean, you never gave me this, and that we could party with my friends. And then verse 30, but as soon as your son came, which has devoured, you know, your living and spent it on garbage and in this terrible lifestyle, and then you kill the fatted calf for him. It was meant that we should be merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and what is found. Oh, and there's a stop right there real quick too, is this. You know, it's amazing how, and I know, you know, probably when I was, you know, obviously we were younger, you know, when you're in school, you're different things, you get people to pick on people and bullies, and that's always been there. I mean, that's always been, we got Goliath in the Bible, we've got, you know, I mean, it's been the same scenario since the beginning of time, right? But it's one thing we're seeing now that, I mean, I see that, you know, kids that will just say the meanest things to people. And I think it's very, how can I say, to self-examine ourselves when the oldest son says those things, that when we do, and we're not walking in love towards people, and we're, you know, having this attitude towards people, or we're jealous of people, or we're, you know, not happy, but that our actions can damage people. Now let me ask you this. I mean, we're just throwing scenarios around it and everything. What if the son would have came home, the younger son, the prodigal son would have came home, ran into his older brother before he got to his dad? Then what would the story be like? Right? Hey, guess what? We're representatives of God the Father and Jesus. And guess what? How many people and how many Christians screw it up before they get to God?
Yeah.
Right? I need help. What'd you do that for? You're kind of a bigot. Why'd you do that? You call yourself a Christian? See, what happens is we're the older sons or daughters. They come to us for help. And guess what? Why'd you live like that? We got the same response as many Christians do. And we damage people. They're like, well, I don't want to go to church anymore. Well, you know, those Christians are... Wait a minute. Stop. People are Christians. Again, they're trying to do the best they can, but they... Again, we're just people here, so we don't want to get in condemnation. But the point is this. God is love, and Jesus is perfect, and the Holy Spirit is wonderful, right? And we do the best we can. But, you know, we're trying to represent the best we can of Jesus, but none of us will ever measure up to Jesus. None of us will ever measure up to the Father. Oh, yeah, the son was, let's just say this, the older son, he was doing everything right. He was faithful, but like Jesus said, your heart is far from me. Yeah. See, your lips are saying one thing, but your heart's over here. Mm-hmm. And so when we're looking at this story, we need to find out, yeah, the older son showed up, but his heart was off. Because it should have been focused on people. Should have been focused on his brother. Should have been focused on these people. Now, again, sometimes in life, you're going to have people that the Apostle Paul says, deliver me from wicked and unreasonable people in Ephesians. Right? They're just some people. They don't want anything to do with you and everything else. But this, we're talking about in this scenario, when he repented, the younger son came back. The father's love, I know, drew him back because he would not have stepped out without, would not have come home if at least he knew the father was there. And the father would welcome back. And see, the cool thing about the father's love is not only did he was expecting just to have I just need a job, you know, I'll just stay with the servants and everything else. But what love does, it goes above and beyond. I'm going to put a ring on your finger. You're going to have the same status you did back then. We're going to kill the fatted calf, and we're going to party and celebrate because he came back. First Corinthians 16:14 says, let all that you do be done in love. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we've all had people that have done wrong things to us, right? I mean, wrong, right? We've all had people that have said mean things to us and they've done things to us. Or maybe we've made mistakes in the past. I would love how Brother Hagin used to say, he says, one step out of love is one step into sin. And we see the statute of Jesus. I think, you know, Mr. Gary was talking about that earlier. I'm going to turn there real quick. I want to read in John one scripture I'm thinking of here really quick. John 13:34, and it says, a new commandment I have given unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and you also love one. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples. What if you have love one to another? Brother Hagin, when he passed away, there's a couple things that he focused on, which is interesting because that's what Jesus focused on at the end of his ministry. Was one of them was the love, and also the Holy Spirit. Two things that he focused on, that he really hammered on before he stepped over to be with Jesus. And that's what Jesus' ministry here is focused on at the end was love and teaching us about the Holy Spirit. John 3:16, let's turn there. This is very, obviously we know, heard this. Should just be a few pages, but verse 16 says, for God, this is the Amplified Classic, for God so loved and dearly prized the world that he gave up his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. The Father is that Father in the prodigal, with the prodigal son story. God is going to do anything and everything for you. He's already given us everything. He's given us Jesus. He sacrificed his son for us. I don't know anybody that would do that. I wouldn't be able to do it. Right? I mean, I love y'all and I like y'all, but there's like, sharpen up the knife or, you know, sacrifice. I don't think so. But God did it. And guess what? He sent his son, and his son wasn't guilty, but he became guilt for us to rescue us. Verse 17, for God did not send the son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. Now, did the prodigal son's father judge or condemn him? No way. Nope. He who believes in him, clings to, trusts in, relies on him, is not judged, but he who trusts in him never comes up for judgment. For him there is no rejection, no condemnation. He incurs no damnation. But he who does not believe, cleave to, rely on, trust in him, is judged already. He has already been convicted and has already received his sentence because he has not believed in, trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He is condemned for refusing to let his trust rest in Christ's name. That's a mouthful. Colossians 3:14. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in what? Perfect harmony. I just remember, too, I remember just watching Brother Hagin. Adrian and I would be there at Rhema, and we have banquets together. And Brother Hagin would be, you know, number of times that we'd have get-togethers and, you know, things like that when we were going to school there. And, Adrian and I kind of have it always had this thing about preferring one another. The Bible talks about preferring one another. Sometimes I'll try to, maybe we're cooking things and I'm like, here, take this one. No, I don't need that big one. And it's all about preferring one another, right? Preferring one another. Even like our vehicles, I mean, I got a different truck lately, but I always wanted her to have a better vehicle, right? Get in, lower miles, nicer car, right? Hauling the kids around. It's a preferring one another. And a couple of things, because it always preached on, I always kind of watched Brother Hagin when it would be eating or he'd be around or something like that. There's a couple of things, but he'd always make sure Miss Aretha, which is his wife, looked like he'd always kind of look after her, make sure she's... And then the other thing is, too, he's like, I never eat everything on my plate. And sure enough, when I'd watch him, because he, you know, always wanted to practice that, I don't want to overindulge myself, always kind of, he tried to live a fasted life, like, not going to eat everything that I want. I'm going to deny myself sometimes. Sure enough, I'd watch him get done, and he'd still have a lot of food left on his plate. But then Pastor Hagin said he liked to stop at gas stations all the time and get chocolate milk and jelly rolls. So he must have made it up. But it's one of those things where we see it's a lifestyle of those things. And I was very cautious about, you know, people doing things, and hey, it's easy for me to get in the flesh. You know, it's really easy to say, well, I told them off. I mean, that's not something to brag about, right? I mean, there is one thing of standing up for yourself, being assertive, being things, but just to say, oh man, I really told them off. Is that something we want to be proud of? And I think sometimes too, if you do walk in love or try to be compassionate towards people, people view it as weak, but in the Bible, it's actually a strength, isn't it? Now again, I'm not saying not stand up for yourself, being a punching bag, let people abuse you. I'm not talking about that at all. But sometimes there is a self-control that, again, love is going to drive those situations in your life. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that somebody, someone, lay down his life for what? His friends. Wow, that's really popular, isn't it? You know how many situations that I've been in before? We've all been in situations too, but, you know, where they're tooting their horn and everything, and you know stuff going behind the scenes, and you're like, I could say something, but I'm not. Because why? Because you love people. 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been what? Born of God. That's where you know your nature changes, right? Because you love God. You know, and this is the thing too. This is kind of a litmus test when you know is this. If you do step out of love, your heart pricks you right away. Like, why did I say that? You know? Why did I do that? Remember one time one of the girls was... And I try to be careful about things, but some things slip up. You know, I'm human, believe it or not. very human. But, you know, one of the girls slammed one of the other girls' hands in the door jamb one time. I freaked out. I mean, I was like, you idiot! I just blew up, and it was just... Because all these scenarios went through my head, like, oh, dear Lord, we're going to have to get an emergency. We're going to have reconstructive surgery on this hand. Oh, my Lord, help us, Jesus. And I'm just flipping out. And Adrian's parents were there in the same room, too. So that was just a great example of my self-control that day. Not. And I felt so bad. And I went back and apologized. And I was, when I said it, it was one of those things. I was like, no, I'm trying to jam back out there. It was already out there. It's like, in front of God and everybody, you know, you're my in-laws, thinking I'm, you know, I'm messed up. So, yeah, I missed the mark. But you know what? I was so condemned. I couldn't, I told Adrian later, we just talked about it, like, I don't know, about a month ago. I told her, I said, I felt so condemned. I could not sleep for a week. I felt so horrible. And that's where, you know, you got the love of God in you. Because when if you do make a mistake, you just feel like, ugh, and I went back later and repented to the girls, and I was like, I am, Dad, sorry, I messed up. And I've done that before on several occasions. Okay, you know what? Dad lost his cool. I'm sorry. Yeah, I messed up. Okay, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have blown up like that. But again, if you're not, if your heart isn't convicted, then you're not, you just, when you do those things, you're like, eh, whatever. Good, I got him. Are you sure about that? Because it's not really what we want. And so it's that, you know, and Adrian, maybe something like, you know what, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I'm wrong. So, yeah, that's happened just a few times. So 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers what? A multitude of sins. Now, it doesn't mean we're just covering up sins, but what it does mean is when people make mistakes, we don't rub it in their face, right? When we get in an argument or something, well, I'm just, I'm going to dig up all the garbage, you know, from 10 years ago or whatever. It's like, forget it. If you've forgiven somebody, let it go. Don't talk about it, all right? I still hear about, since Adrian and I first got married, I'm a terrible cook, all right? I like to grill, I like to do things, but I did the She likes to rub my sins in my face about when I made Hamburger Helper and I put the meat in with before browning it. So, and I had made it before, but anyway, yeah. So somehow these have triggered cooking things in our marriage, and therefore I get shut down with any kind of cooking opportunities, you know? It's like, nah. So, and it's probably good. All right, it's probably good that I don't cook. But I do grill a lot. I like to grill meat, smoke meat, and do things like that. But, yeah. So I don't work at a restaurant. So I can do dishes. There you go. I can be a waiter, right? Want that drink refilled? I can do it with a smile. Ephesians 4:2 says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, here we go, bearing with one another in love. I love that scripture, right? It's God's plan, guys, is for us to love each other. And John 14:14 and 15 says, yes, I will grant, I myself will do for you whatever you ask in my name, as presenting that I am. This is the Amplified Classic. If you really love me, you will obey my commandments. God equates love as obeying him. And we'll do maybe one here. Nehemiah 8:10 says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Love is the air that we breathe in the spirit realm when we walk with God. It is. It's very important because the Bible talks about if we're not going to forgive people, he's not going to forgive us. If we want love, you know, Mr. Gary was just talking about that with the kids now. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Always, you know, and there are some things where maybe situations and, you know, but I noticed that when you begin to reach out to people, and that's why I like the outreaches, is because it makes us get out of our comfort zone sometimes, you know? It makes us love people that, you know, and I have, you know, over the years I have people that they, you know, sometimes they're rude. No, I don't need prayer. I'm thinking back in my mind, you need prayer. Yeah. You know? All right, you got a beer in your hand and cigarettes and you're doing all kinds of stuff. You need prayer, right? But I'll pray for him. I was like, you know, I'll pray that, you know. And it's funny because the last outing we were at, I was over here and there was a couple, you know, they were, you know, smoking and drinking and, you know, everything else. You know, no, we don't need prayer. And I said, do you need family member? Nope, we need prayer. I said, can I just pray a blessing over you? Oh, yeah. And I just spoke, I just said, I pray that God is going to show himself mightily to you. So it was like, oh, I prayed some things over you. You probably don't understand what I've been saying. And that's okay. But I'm praying because I love you, and I'm going to pray some things over you that you need that you don't know you need, right? And again, one thing about when we do talk to people about the Lord, remember this, you're not convicting of their sin, the Holy Spirit is. So when you get mad, I remember when I was younger and I'd, you know, get mad and I'd be talking to people, you need Jesus, you know? And then they laugh or whatever, you know, and I walk off and I'm like thinking to myself, yeah, you're going to hell, so don't take that, you know. This is like self-indignant, you know, this righteous, self-righteous garbage that I used to have. And it's, you know, that stuff, you know, flares up and stuff, but I'm thinking too, wait a minute, I'm the messenger, okay? God wants these people born again more than I do. And if I just put a positive, you know, impact on people that when they equate Jesus and Christianity of, hey, this person actually cares about me, hopefully we can get them to the next stage, which the next person is going to come along, and the next person is going to come along, and the next person is going to come along. It's like having kids, you know, and you're trying to get them to eat their vegetables or whatever. You know, I just want to eat candy. No. I'm here to help you, because you don't know what's good for you. And we're not going to have an attitude towards unbelievers. But the point is, in the back of your mind, think you do need Jesus. You just haven't met him yet. If you met him, you'd definitely give your life to him right now. Yeah. And I look at it, people who do not have not accepted Jesus is because, number one, they haven't met him. Number two, they've had some things in their life where, you know, they've had Christians treat them bad, or they've saw something, or they've heard somebody say something. And, well, my parents, you know, they never went to church, and they said this, or grandpa said this, and they're all terrible and all bad. No. We're going to love on them, right? We were just talking about, Adrian was down in South Africa, about, you know, one of the guys that went to the church that, you know, her cousin goes to, his associate pastor there, and how, you know, he was terrible and awful, and, you know, his marriage was falling apart and everything. Didn't like church, didn't like the pastor, didn't like these things. And am I getting it right? And then he just wanted to, you know, and then he turned his life around. But
he'd show up with his wife once in a while, and nope, he was just mean. Nobody liked him.
Right.
And he slowly, just by the love of God with people.
Yep. Exactly. And I remember a teenager one time, was his sister came to our church. I witnessed to him on the streets. He laughed at me. The very next year, about the same time, he came on our church and got born again. So again, we cannot go by, when we're walking and we love people, we don't know, first of all, you know, let's just say this. A lot of people out there, they're just damaged goods and they need help. And they're crying out for help, and they're just damaged goods, and they need help with some things. And Jesus can help them, and obviously we can help them. But again, it's the love of God that leads men to repentance. Amen. Let me just say this. When I was a sinner, I knew I was a sinner. I didn't need anybody telling me I was a sinner. If you're doing bad stuff, you know you're doing bad stuff, right? I mean, people who have a drug problem, they don't need to say, you know what, it's kind of bad, you got a drug problem, you're kind of a bad person. They got it figured out. Hey, by the way, your car isn't running, I just want to let you know. Well, I kind of need it running, right? I don't need you to tell me what the problem is, I need an answer. And guess what the answer is? Love. Love. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness and your love tonight. You and thank you tonight for your love. Hallelujah. That, Lord, when we love other people, it sets us free. Amen. And it is a weapon against the enemy. Amen. Because the enemy is going to try to get us offended and upset on things, Lord. But we just pray tonight, Lord, that we're going to walk in love towards you, Father, obey you. And God, with the power of the Holy Spirit and the love that's been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we're empowered to be able to love people, Lord Jesus. We thank you tonight, God, that we're set free by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we just thank you, Lord, that you love us and you came down to redeem us, and we glorify you in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, have a great week, everybody. Hallelujah.